Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I am proud to bring you the Urantia book with Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you today?
Well, very good, Hercules. Here in New York City, we are in a lot of places, too, suffering from a huge heat wave that's going on and on and on, and I'm not very good with hot, humid weather, as most people are the same way, so we're just trying to get through this and onto a little cooler weather next week.
Us, too. We went shopping very quickly today to do some grocery shopping, and otherwise we stayed inside. My wife, Athena, watered the flowers and the lawn so that they don't dry up in the sun, and we've been home all day.
That was a good plan, a smart plan, too.
Thank you, sir. Your guest is here, and I'm looking forward to part two of your conversation.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's get started then. Again, this is Nick Curto presents the Urantia book, a live 60-minute podcast. I'm Nick Curto, your host. A very brief background about me. I heard about the Urantia book while attending a Sunday morning All Souls Unitarian Church right here in Manhattan's Upper East Side. The minister read a few passages from this incredible book that I never heard of before, and I was very moved, deeply impressed, and excited, and found the book and went to study groups here in Manhattan, and I've been doing study groups the rest of my whole life, and it's been an incredible experience. The Urantia book certainly is a masterwork. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but it's a 2,098-page book, it is a magnificent way to learn about the Universal Father, our planet, the universe itself, and our place in it. And with that, I just want to give you the a website to take more about the Urantia book, which is www.urantiabook.org. It's an amazing website, and you can even read the entire book or listen to it because the whole book has been recorded. Okay, well, let's get right to it. My guest again for part two of an amazing interview with a wonderful reader, an amazing asset to the Urantia book family, Diane LeQuake. Welcome, and here we go with part two.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing, other than the heat? Ready for beautiful description of all the events that happened when Jesus ascended?
Oh, I can't wait for that. And we're talking about Jubilee of Jubilees. And tell the, if you will, tell the listeners a little bit about that amazing worldwide Zoom event, and then we'll go right into why it is called the Jubilee of Jubilees. So please go ahead.
Yes. A while ago, this Urantia book reader named Brother Josh Wilson came to me and interviewed me and said, what do you think about this essay that I wrote? And it was about the Jubilee of Jubilees. And so after I read it, I just about jumped off my chair and I said, Josh, this is absolutely outstanding. There's probably 99.999% of the planet who doesn't know about all this because most of the world knows that Jesus made his ascension. But people think it stopped there. But lo and behold, 11 events, 11 known today, we may discover more later on, but as of today, there's 11 major events that happened at the same time, a little more than 5 hours of time, of our time, these 11 events happened in the universe, and this is what we will talk about tonight, and I'm sure that your listeners will find it extremely informative, and it's great to know because it's very, very revealing, and it helps us to connect the dots.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about this, and please go ahead with what is the significant date? Let's start with that.
Okay, Jesus made his ascension on May 18th, 30-80, all right? And so when that happened, I will start with the event, but I just want to say quickly that in May of this year, just a couple of months ago, Josh and I, again, had this international Zoom with the, because we could not go to Israel right now. We were supposed to go 2 years ago, and with COVID, ever since then, we haven't been able to gather readers around the world because some readers had difficulties to come. So we did it on Zoom. And we celebrated the Jubilee of Jubilees together. And you and I know, Nick, that a Jubilee is a very important celebration, all right? So when they call it, when the Urantia book reveals to us that this event that happened that I will give explanation about is called the Jubilee of Jubilees. That means it's the celebration of celebrations. So you people will understand why it was called so. So would you like me to start?
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Okay. All right. So this recital that I will go through covers the high points that occurred following Jesus Christ, Michael's ascension from Urantia, from our planet, which is called Urantia in the local universe that we live in. All right, and I just want to say this timeline reveals that much, if not all of these events, occurred quickly, even over the course of just a little bit more than 5 hours, being from 7:45 in the morning to about 1 p.m. on, again, May 18, 3080. So the first event, we all know about that. The world knows about that. Jesus' ascension from Mount Olivet, the Mount of Olives in Israel, about 7:45 a.m. So what I will do, Nick, just for your readers, if they ever want to go online and look up the Urantia book, I will give the reference of what I'm reading so that people can actually go look it up quickly and they don't have to make a search and then say, where did she get this or did she invent it or did she make it up? No, it's all from the Urantia book. So the first event is in paper 193 in section 5, paragraph 5. And it's very sweet and short. It was about 7:45 this morning of May 18 when the Urantia Jesus disappeared from the observation of his 11 apostles to begin the ascent to the right hand of his Father. That's it. So that we're good with. The whole world knows about that. But then let's go right into event number 2, which is that Jesus traveled to Edentia by way of Jerusalem and was returned to the status of paradise sonship, because we know that Jesus bestowed himself on earth as a human, as a Jew among Jews, and as a human being just like all of us to live the human life as part of his mandate, which was his seventh and final bestowal. Okay, so in paper 193, section 5, paragraph 4, it says, the master went to Edentia by way of Jerusalem, I will talk about it right after, where the Most High, under the observation of the Paradise Son, released Jesus of Nazareth from the Urantia state and, through the spirit channels of ascension, returned him to the status of Paradise Sonship and supreme sovereignty on Salvington. When I read this, Nick, I thought that I would like to explain the acronym of the name Jesus. I really, really like this, and I'm very happy to share it with the world who will hear this. Because Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of the ways, or I think the best way, or maybe even the ideal way. No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if he is the way, look at how interesting his name is, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. So it has meaning because J stands for Jerusalem. Okay, and we know that Jerusalem is the capital or the headquarter of our local system of Satania, so Satania in English. And so this has to do with our system in our local universe. And then the E stands for Edentia. Edentia is the capital or the headquarter of the constellation of Nolachedek, which is the constellation, our constellation in the local universe. And so we have J-E. What about S? S, I'm sure you thought of it, stands for Salvington. And Salvington is the capital of the local universe of Nebadon, our local universe, all of us here, okay? The U stands for Uversa, which is, again, the capital of what? Our super universe of Orvontan. Its capital name is Uversa, and we must all go through Uversa as we ascend to the Father in paradise. And then the S stands for the Supreme. We know that God is called the Supreme, the evolving God of time and space. And that's where we live in. We live in time and space. So Jesus is definitely the way. This is why he said, no man goes to the Father except through me. We need to follow Jesus and to follow his road through Jerusalem, Edentia, Salvington, Uversa, and the Supreme. Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
I love it. Event number 3. Okay, he received the formal confirmation by the Universal Father of Michael's completed sovereignty of the universe of Nebadon. So in paper 193, section 5, part 5, paragraph 5, it says, Jesus disappeared from the observation of his 11 apostles to begin the ascent to the right hand of his Father there to receive the formal confirmation of his completed sovereignty of the universe of Nebadon. Why? Because he could not receive it before until he had ended his last and seventh bestowal, which is the bestowal on our planet, Urantia, on Earth. And after that, when he ascended, not only did he ascend it to the right hand of the Father, but the Father gave him his formal confirmation of having completed his sovereignty of his own local universe of Nebadon. So that's the third event that happened, and very few people know about that. So let's move on to event number 4. Event number 4 is the enthronement on Salvington called the Jubilee of Jubilees. And this is why Josh Wilson and I have been for the past 3 years informing Urantia Book readers around the world of the importance of the Jubilee of Jubilees being the celebration of all celebrations. And until Jesus guides me and gives me the green light to go back to his holy land, we will go and officially inaugurate the Jubilee of Jubilees here on planet Earth called Urantia. And so in the meantime, we have it on Zoom, and people are getting more and more informed about it. So in paper 33 of the Urantia book, section 3, paragraph 5, we can read, upon the completion of the Creator Son's seventh and final creature bestowal, the uncertainties of periodic isolation terminate for the divine minister. The divine minister, for your listeners, is his consort, okay, his sweetheart. And the Son's universe helper, she's his helper, she becomes forever settled in surety and control. It is at the enthronement of the Creator Son as a master son, at the Jubilee of Jubilees, that the universe spirit before the assembled hosts first makes public and universal acknowledgement of subordination to the Son, the Creator Son, pledging fidelity and obedience. This event occurred in Nebadon at the time of Michael's return to Salvington after the Urantia bestowal. So you see how important it is. Not only did he ascend from our planet to heaven, but when he received his sovereignty, his approval from the Father in paradise, and went back to his capital on Salvington in the local universe, he was received by a host of hosts, the whole family celebration, where they celebrated the Jubilee of Jubilees. Our Creator Son has done it all. He's been there, done it. Seven bestowals. And so it ends by saying, never before this momentous occasion did the universe spirit, sometimes we call her mother spirit, acknowledge subordination to the universe son. And not until after this voluntary relinquishment of power and authority by the Spirit could it be truthfully proclaimed of the Son that, quote, all power in heaven and on earth has been committed to his hand, end of quote. Those are very, very, very important events that happened, and they all connect together. It was like a domino. The first, when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, Mount Olivet in Israel, it was just the first domino that the world became aware of. But in the universe, the first domino went bing, 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 and 11 of them happened. And so let's move on to event number 5, which is the greater and personal revealing of the Universe Mother Spirit. And again, I like to reiterate that the Universe Mother Spirit is the consort, the loving consort of Michael, because here we call him Jesus on earth, but at the local universe level, it's Jesus Christ, Michael. We know that we live in the physical, mental, and spiritual level, and so his physical name, he was born in the physical body as Jesus, Joshua. And then mental, Christ. When they say, if your mind fails, ask for the mind of Michael. Ask for the mind of Christ, the Christ mind. And so this is the mental dimension. And then the spiritual, he's a Creator Son, Michael. And so his entire name on the physical, mental, and spiritual levels is Jesus Christ Michael. And so what happened there is that we got a greater and personal revealing of the Universe Mother Spirit in paper 34 of the Urantia book in section 2, paragraph 1. It says, having undergone marked personality metamorphosis at the time of life creation, the divine minister thereafter functions as a person and cooperates in a very personal manner with the Creator Son in the planning and management of the extensive affairs of their local creation. To many universe types of being, even this representation of the Infinite Spirit may not appear to be wholly personal during the ages preceding the final Michael bestowal, but subsequent to the elevation of the Creator Son to the sovereign authority of a Master Son, the Creative Mother Spirit becomes so augmented in personal qualities as to be personally recognized by all contacting individuals. Isn't that something? Before
Absolutely.
Reading the Urantia book, I did not know that. You know, it's beyond our comprehension. And now she is personally recognized by all contacting individuals. This is why there is so many people now that love to pray to Mother Spirit, especially because mothers are so full of nurturing, you know. And so that brings us to event number 6, which is the Proclamation of Equality. You will see how beautiful it is. I should say, naturally, is the Proclamation of Equality between Michael and Mother. So in paper 33, section 3, paragraph 6, we can read, after this pledge of subordination by the creative Mother Spirit, Michael of Nebadon nobly acknowledged his eternal dependence on his spirit companion. What a love statement. His eternal dependence on his spirit companion, constituting the spirit co-ruler of his universe domain and requiring all their creatures to pledge themselves in loyalty to the spirit as they had to the sun. And there issued and went forth the final, quote-unquote, proclamation of equality. Though he was the sovereign of this local universe, the sun published to the world the fact of the spirit's equality with him in all endowments of personality and attributes of divine character. And this becomes the transcendent pattern for the family organization of government of even the lowly creatures of the worlds of space. This is, in deed and in truth, the high ideal of the family and the human institution of voluntary marriage. This is why very often we hear, as above, so below. So our divine parents, Michael and Mother Spirit, okay, Master Michael and Mother Spirit, they are our model. We can model ourselves on them, and this is why the revelation, the fifth epochal revelation called the Urantia Book, is of such importance to the world, and especially right now. And what I like, you see the subtlety and the intelligence of the words. This is in deed and in truth. Deed means, refers to action, and truth refers to who? To Jesus, Spirit of Truth. And so in deed is Mother Spirit, because the spirit is called the conjoint actor. And so when they say this is indeed, that means with Mother Spirit, and in truth with Michael, the high ideal of the family and the human institution of voluntary marriage. So it is extraordinary. And another thing that is extraordinary as well is that they nobly acknowledge their eternal dependence as companions. That's a long time, eternal. So, event number 7, worldwide bestowal of the Spirit of Truth with the accompanying joy, security, and confidence. And so, in paper 194, at the beginning, section 0, which means the introduction, and paragraph 1, we can read, about 1 o'clock, as the 120 believers were engaged in prayer, you remember that after Jesus resurrected, they all hid somewhere and they were very afraid to go out and they didn't know what next to do. And so there was about 120 believers who were engaged in prayer. At that moment, around 1 o'clock, they all became aware of a strange presence in the room. At the same time, these disciples all became conscious of a new and profound sense of spiritual joy, security, and confidence. This new consciousness of spiritual strength was immediately followed by a strong urge to go out and publicly proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. So it was really marvelous the way it happened. And then in paper 194, section 0 again, second paragraph, we can read, Peter stood up and declared that this must be the coming of the Spirit of Truth, which the Master had promised them, and proposed that they go out to the temple and begin the proclamation of the good news committed to their hands. And they did just what Peter suggested. So guess what? By 4:30 in the afternoon, just, a couple of hours after, okay, more than 2,000 new believers followed the apostles down to the pool of Siloam, where Peter, Andrew, James, and John Zebedee baptized them in the Master's name. And it was dark when they had finished with baptizing this multitude. And I would like to say to your listeners that when I read that they went down, all of them went down to the pool of Siloam, it's really wonderful because all the beautiful pilgrimages that I organize for your Rancho Book readers to the Holy Land of Jesus, I bring them to one of the major, many, many places I bring them to is the official discovered pool of Siloam. And when you see it, because the first one was not compared, it did not fit in the decor, especially when you have 2,000 people. Now, the pool of Siloam that was discovered by Ilan Soufron, the archaeologist there, who blessed us with a presentation, we can see the pool of Siloam was big and it was great. So as I read this, it's really nice because whoever has been there with us can read this and relive the event. So this brings us to event number 8, which is the preparation of all normal minds. And I read the name, the word normal, because that's very important. Preparation of all normal minds for the universal bestowal of thought adjusters upon the people of earth. And the reason why I made a focus on the word normal is because we know that when Jesus went with Gonad and Gainid to the tour around Rome, the trip around Rome and back, at one point Jesus and Gainid were going out and meeting many, many people. Most of the time, normally, people would stop and speak to people and speak to them spiritually, uplift their spirit, give them information, and listen to them and all this and all that. And then, if he wanted or felt inspired to, he would also make an offering. And at one point, I remember reading when Gainid asked Jesus, "Master, why did you, the guy we just met? Why did you just pass and give him an offering, but you didn't stop to discuss with him, have a discussion, like you normally do?" And Jesus answered, "Gainid, this man's mind was not normal in the sense that he did not have the capacity to be able to engage into a mutual conversation and make sense and all that. In other words, some people are affected mentally, that is to be respected and to feel compassion for them. But all this to say that event number 8 refers to the preparation of all normal minds for the universal bestowal of thought adjusters upon the people of earth. And so in People 194, Section 2, Paragraph 3, we can read, "This bestowal of the Son's Spirit effectively prepared all normal man's minds for the subsequent universal bestowal of the Father's Spirit, called the Adjuster, upon all mankind. In a certain sense, this Spirit of Truth is the Spirit of both the Universal Father and the Creator Son." And I love the term when they call it, they say that we receive our thought adjuster, because life begins with thought, word, and deed. So before we act, we need to think. Even before we speak, we need to think. And so because we use our thought constantly every single day, it's important to know that, first of all, we are inhabited by a perfect fragment of the Paradise Father, straight from Paradise, and he's called our thought adjuster. That means the word adjuster, he adjusts our thoughts if we ask him. If we don't, he does not intervene because we have free will. But if we have the wisdom to pray, especially in important situation, and ask God, my thought adjuster, God, Heavenly Father, in my mind, please tell me what is the right way to think about this situation. Without fail, the thought adjuster, which is God in our mind, will always guide us in and say, this is the way, that is the way. So we don't make mistakes. And it's one, well, let's say we make less mistakes because we do. We're not perfect. We're progressing toward perfection. But all this to say that our thought adjuster is the fragment of God, the Heavenly Father in Paradise, that inhabits our mind, our very thought, and so much so that most people don't know, but when we reach an age of maturity, let's say between 40, 50-ish, if we develop normally, then our thought adjuster becomes our thought controller. He actually controls our way of thinking, and this is why people will say often, my God, you're really becoming wise. Why? Because we are connecting, we are coordinating with our thought adjuster, which makes life much easier, much simpler, and much more joyful and peaceful. So that being said, it brings us to event number 9. And it says, Michael was proclaimed planetary prince of Urantia, meaning our planet here on Earth. So Michael, Jesus Christ Michael, was proclaimed planetary prince of Urantia by our paradise advisor named the Union of Days at the time of Michael's elevation to sovereignty. And so in paper 114, section 1, paragraph 1, they tell us, subsequent to the downfall of Prince Telegastia, okay, Prince Telegastia was a planetary prince on Urantia. But at the time of the Lucifer Rebellion, Urantia had no sure and settled relationship with the local universe and its administrative divisions until the completion of Michael's bestowal in the flesh, when he, Michael himself, was proclaimed by the Union of Days, planetary prince of Urantia. So that's very, very, very important, because 200,000 years ago, when our planet suffered from the Lucifer Rebellion, we've been in chaos ever since. And when Michael, 2,000 years ago, I'm giving a rough number, a general number, 2,000 years ago, when he completed his bestowal in the flesh on Urantia, that's when after that, event number 5 happened, and they proclaimed him planetary prince of Urantia, which means a lot. Event number 10. The institution of the 24 counselors. I will read event number 11 because I want to keep the other one for last. So event number, we'll say 10. The arrival of the 12 corps of the Master Seraphim of planetary supervision. Master Seraphim means, whoever does not know, it means angels, but a very special class of angels. So in paper 114, section 6, paragraph 1, everyone can read. When the first Governor General arrived on our planet, Urantia, concurrent with the outpouring of the Spirit of Truth, he was accompanied by 12 corps of special seraphim or angels. Seraphington graduates who were immediately assigned to certain special planetary services. There's a lot going on the planet in the invisible that we don't see, but thanks to them, everything is in or is kept in balance, even if sometimes it doesn't give the impression that it is. These exalted angels are known as the Master Seraphim of planetary supervision and are, aside from the over-control of the planetary Most High Observer, they are under the immediate direction of the resident Governor General. Because on top of that, we also have on the planet a residing Governor General. And I will talk about the last event, which is the institution of the 24 counselors on Jerusalem, which I named before. All right, Jerusalem being the capital or headquarter of our local system of Satania. That's where the name Satan comes from, because he was on Satania. Okay, and so our first resident, I will start again. The institution of the 24 counselors on Jerusalem and the arrival of their representative, our first resident governor general, concurrent with the outpouring of the Spirit of Truth on May 18 again, 3080. And so in paper 45, section 4, paragraph 3, we can read, such a proclamation in surety and in principle forever settled the status of your world. But in practice, the sovereign creator son, Michael, made no gesture of personal administration of the planet aside from the establishment of the Jerusalem Commission of 24 former Urantians with authority to represent him in the government of Urantia and all other quarantined planets in the system. And we know that there were 36 other planets that fell under the dupery. They were duped just like our planet, with 37 total were duped by the Lucifer Rebellion, who wanted to proclaim himself to be the God. So one of this council is now always resident on our planet Urantia as resident governor general. And the reason why I wanted to keep this to last is because I would like to name some names. Of the 24, there are some names that I will not mention, because whether it's Onagar, Mansant, or Onamunalantan, or Orlandoff, we don't really know who those people are, because they preceded us long ago. Except that we have Adam and Eve. So this is very comforting to know that of those 24, Adam and Eve are part of that group of the 24 counselors, because after there was the Adamic default, when we know what happened with Eve, all right? And so because it was not done intentionally, well, they made them part of the group of 24 counselors. And then beside Adam and Eve, there's also Enoch, who was the first of the mortals of Urantia to fuse with the Thought Adjuster, with his Thought Adjuster during the mortal life in the flesh. That means he went straight, he fused. And we know that, and that's a place also where I brought the group there, where we see the statue of Enoch and the place where supposedly he ascended to heaven in a, how do they say that, like a chariot of fire, you know? You've probably read about that. It's really, really interesting. So Enoch is one of the 24 as well. Moses, the famous Moses that the Jewish people love so much, I should say. And so Moses was, we know that, the emancipator of a remnant of the submerged violet race and the instigator of the revival of the worship of the Universal Father, under the name of the God of Israel. And so Moses is also a part of the 24 counselors who are given patrol of the planet to intervene, whatever. And then there's also Elijah, who was a translated soul of brilliant spiritual achievement during the post-material sun age, which means during the age of Adam and Eve. And then there's also Machiventa Melchizedek. Machiventa Melchizedek, for your listeners, I would like to read, because at one of the trips that I did in Israel with some readers, I had asked an archaeologist to give us a private tour of the standing stone of Melchizedek. And I had bought some bags, some shoulder bags, to put our luggage and not luggage, but I mean our wallet and stuff and little things as we went on during the day. And so when I arrived to meet the archaeologist, very famous archaeologist, and I had this big bag where there was a menorah and there were the three concentric circles and there was the name Melchizedek. And in the Bible, I think there's only four very short sentences in the Old Testament that mentioned the name Melchizedek. And so, and this archaeologist is Jewish, naturally. And so when I went to see him, I smiled at him, he smiled at me, and then as he looked at my bag and he went like, Melchizedek? The menorah? Those three circles? Melchizedek? Wow! What do you know? And then my group came, followed me, and then they arrived, and we all had a similar bag. And you should have seen his face, Nick, when he went, Melchizedek, 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 what is it that you know that I don't know? And so this was very, very interesting, and this is why at the end of the tour, I actually gave him a Urantia book as a present, and I prayed and asked my thought adjuster in Jesus to guide me as to write a beautiful dedication to him. And it was so beautiful because when he received it, he held it as one of the most precious treasures on earth. And he was on the edge of tears, you know, like his eyes were all watery. And it was a very, very moving moment for all of us. And so it says here, Machiventa Melchizedek is the only son of this order to bestow himself upon the Urantia races. He came right before the revelation of the bestowal of Jesus. While still numbered as a Melchizedek, Machiventa has become forever a minister of the Most High, eternally assuming the assignment of service as a mortal ascender, having sojourned on our planet Urantia in the likeness of mortal flesh at Salem, which later became known as Jerusalem, in the days of Abraham. And he stayed for 94 years. This Melchizedek has latterly been proclaimed vicegerent planetary prince of Urantia with headquarters on Jerusalem, and authority to act on behalf, in behalf of Michael, who is actually the planetary prince of the world, whereon he experienced his terminal bestowal in human form, being his seventh and final bestowal. Notwithstanding this, Urantia is still supervised by successive resident governor generals, members of the 24 councilors, or the 24 counselors, as you wish. Another person is John the Baptist. We all know about John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, Michael's mission on Urantia, and in the flesh, distant cousin of the Son of Man. We know that Elizabeth had John the Baptist, and so John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. And so these are some of the group of the 24 counselors that Jesus gave, like it says here, you know, he gave them authority to represent him in the government of Urantia and all other quarantine planets, even on the other 36 in the system. So it's to me, it's very, very important to know because, again, it's all interconnected and interrelated. So even now, John the Baptist is related to us. Elijah, Moses, Enoch, Adam, Eve, Arvonon, all the other ones are all connected, and they keep informed of us and of the planet as well, the unfolding. So it's very, very interesting. So those are at large, the 11 events that happened on May 18th at the Ascension, when the Master ascended and became Master Michael, and all this happened in the course of a little more than 5 hours, being from 7:45 in the morning to about 1 p.m. on May 18, 3080. So I hope it's informative to you, Nick.
Diane, I can't thank you enough for doing such a beautiful and so detailed presentation on this program. Really, you've made so many wonderful points here, and on May 18th will never again be just another day to me and to all of our Urantia Book family, because now there's so much more to know and to celebrate that it is truly an amazing, magnificent day of major, major events, and the way you have outlined them and made them come alive with your presentation, I really can't thank you enough.
Well, actually, this is why when Brother Josh Wilson, presented me with his essay, and we decided to jointly make a program to inform Urantia Book readers, in a way, it was like almost a gift in disguise, Nick, because when I had organized the trip in 2020, and we were going in May, and you remember when they announced COVID was in March, if I am correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was sometime in March 2020, so yeah. It was just a couple of months before. Now, we all had our flight tickets and everything, and we were going to inaugurate on May 18 on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus made his ascension, because thanks to the Urantia Revelation, they tell us where Jesus made his ascension, and so we were going to go there. I must tell you that I see the hand of God, Nick, because at the time, even though I was so elated to go there, and Josh was staying here in America, and we were going to do a live worldwide presentation, at the same time, I realized that maybe it was our decision to make it then and there. But when COVID was announced and we had to be reimbursed and wait and not go, and then in last year, 2021, I call it the year of vaccination, so that people could not travel, and the focus was on something else. Again, we could not go. But what Josh and I did, which I think was a brilliant inspiration, was to start informing Urantia Book readers. So through the Zoom programs, events, or celebrations that we have, which this year you were one of our honored guests, and I was so happy to have you with us, participate at that worldwide celebration. We have been, for 3 years, we have been developing an interest just like you did, Nick, just like you expressed, which people said, my God, we did not know that May 18 is such an important event, and so many events happen with it, and oh my God, and so on and so forth. And so it's been growing and growing. And so this is why I say, when Jesus gives me his green light to say, okay, Diane, you can go now, inaugurate it on Urantia, on my planet, and with Josh, we will do that, and Derek Samaras, that you know, has accepted to help us do the live streaming, and we will be able to offer it to the ones. I already have a long list of readers who said, I want to reserve my place when you go. But at the same time, there will be readers around the world that cannot come for whatever reason. They will be able to Zoom in and visualize it with us, and we will be there in Israel on the Mount of Olives, where the Master made his ascension, at the view of all the angelic sisters that we have in the local universe, with our divine father and mother overlooking the planet and saying, wow, they are recognizing it as we are. They are celebrating our Jubilee of Jubilees, which is throughout the whole local universe. So it will be a major, major, major event for the ones who know the importance of the Jubilee of Jubilees, May 18. And many Urantia Book readers have even said, when we leave this planet, I don't want to say when we die, but when we exit this planet and we continue to the mansion world and to progress in heaven, one day, May 18 will most likely become a universally acknowledged holy day on our planet Urantia as being of the utmost importance, because in April it's the resurrection, and then after that the ascension, and after that the bestowal of the Spirit of Truth, and after that the Jubilee of Jubilees. So we will be able to say in heaven, high five, we were there. You remember when we inaugurated it? So it's a joy to be, to have planted the seed and to be watching the roots underground growing ever so quickly, ever so fast. And when the time comes, we will do it on the surface, on the Mount of Olives, and the world will know about this most important event.
Excellent, excellent. I want to give a shout-out to wonderful Brother Josh for having the vision to put this all together, connecting the dots, as you said, Diane, and to making this such an important event that we know we need to know about and we all need to celebrate. And this certainly is a magnificent find on so many levels. And again, your presentation was just excellent. I cannot thank you enough. I want to ask my producer, Hercules, how much more time do we have here?
We have around 6-7 minutes.
6 to 7 minutes, all right. Well, before we continue, Diane, I just want to say to our listeners that if they would have a question or a comment about what we have been discussing today and getting a lot of information, you can contact Diane or myself. I'm going to give you my email address, and you're most welcome to use that. And again, a question or a comment, we would welcome. Here it is. I'm going to give it to you right now. My email address is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, but the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it. nicknyny1 at gmail.com. Wow, this has been such an amazing hour with you, Diane. Just I always just treasure your amazing knowledge that you share so beautifully with all of us. And you really are quite a powerhouse. You really are. I cannot thank you enough. And we have just a couple of minutes, but Diane, with a minute or two, what would you like to leave our listeners with this evening? Is there any particular thought or message you'd like to briefly say?
Yes, Nick. Actually, I just, as you were giving your email address, I had this thought that I want to share with all your listeners, and that is, even the name of it, just imagine, you remember what Christmas became, Christ's Mass, the Mass of Christ believers, and it has become a celebration over the planet. Even if the date is not correct, it is the Mass of Christ believers, and the whole planet went into a festive atmosphere every year where we loved and hugged and kissed and ate and shared and this, that. So just the name, the Jubilee of Jubilees. Imagine a Jubilee, which is a big celebration. When a couple reaches 50 years of marriage, of wedding together, a 50-year wedding celebration, they call it, my grandparents had that, their Jubilee. And God knows it was a family celebration, music, food, wine, everything. So imagine the name, the Jubilee of Jubilees. What a celebration, what an inspiration to celebrate it will be for people of all nations, of all countries, of all colors, of all ages, of everywhere. We will be celebrating in God just like Jesus wanted us to do, wants us to do, wanted us then when he bestowed himself, and wants us even more now to glorify God and to love each other in the spirit of brotherhood. So the Jubilee of Jubilees will be that, to celebrate our divine parents, our Michael becoming Master Michael, and because of that having bestowed himself on our planet, and we are returning it to him by acknowledging his Jubilee of Jubilees.
Beautifully, beautifully said. Again, Diane, thank you so much for being on my program, and I would love you to do at some point a part three when we can go into another area of the Arantia book, because you really are such a joy, such a total joy to have on the program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Much love to you.
I had this vision, Nick, that there would be a part three. So if it happens, it won't be a surprise, and it will be a joy, a true joy.
Okay. So this is Nick Curto that presents the Arantia book. I want to wish you all an enlightened life journey. Till next time, please explore the deep wisdom and limitless love contained in the Arantia book. Stay very, very safe and be kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to all our listeners and to everyone on our beautiful planet and beyond. Till next time, good night, good night, good night, and much love to all.
Love you, Nick. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Diane. Thank you to those who are listening in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you are waiting in our queue patiently by telephone, or whether you'll check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.